Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 25th, 2011, episode 85, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Horsing around, Jamie, that's what you're going to be doing this weekend. And you got a three-day weekend because we have a special show coming up on Monday. You're just going to be, you won't know what to do with yourself Monday morning when you don't have to get up at 5 o'clock.
I know, it's kind of weird. I'm in town all weekend and I don't have anything to do. So that's exciting. So I'll pretty much do what I normally do, which is nothing and just hang out on my farm.
There you go. Ride horses, play with ponies, teach lessons, yeah. All that kind of stuff. But
exactly.
Yesterday, and I'm sure anybody that follows you on Facebook is waiting this morning, has tuned in knowing that you're going to have this story to tell from yesterday. So tell us the story.
Oh, my God. It was so ridiculous, Glenn. It was so
ridiculous.
You know what,
Jamie? Ridiculousness follows you. It's like
it really does.
You have this sign on your back that says, I love ridiculousness and ridiculousness people. And if you would, please follow me. And they do.
I didn't ask for this one, Glenn. It just found me, okay? So I go to CVS yesterday to get my collection of my stock of peppermints, if you will. I go to CVS, I buy the big bags of peppermints for the horses. So I go in, purchase my peppermints, grab a drink, walk outside, pay, you know, then walk outside. And I see this man standing next to my pickup truck, crying. And I mean, he's like, he's got his cell phone up to his ear. He's like shaking. He's smoking three cigarettes at once. And he's standing by my truck. And I mean, obviously I can tell he's waiting for me because he's like literally standing right there by my truck and there's no other cars right around. So I walk up and of course, you know, I get a little nervous. I'm like
a little apprehensive. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, can I help you? And he's like, I just hit your truck. And I was like, what? And he's like, get back to my car into your truck. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, where'd you hit it? And he points to, like, this tiny little nick on my bumper. And mind you, I have a 2001 Dodge Ram quad cab turbo diesel that is a farm truck through and through. There was hay bales currently in the back of the truck as he hit it. So I'm like, It's okay, man. Like, he's crying so uncontrollably. I'm like, dude, it's you know, it's just a little nick. It's a work truck. It's totally fine. Just go on about your day. Don't even worry about it. He's like, no, I just hit your truck with my brand new Porsche. I looked three spaces over, and the dude has crushed his Porsche. I mean, brand spanking new. Glenn, this Porsche is so brand new. It still has that paper tag from the dealer.
Oh, no.
He's like, I got it yesterday. It's the first time I've driven it anywhere.
You got it yesterday.
This isn't funny, but it's funny. Was it red? It has to be red.
No, it was like this fancy silver. It was ridiculous.
So what did he do? Did he, like, really crumple it?
The back end, Glenn, it was like a pie piece had been taken out of it. Like, I mean, what he did was he hit my, thank God for horse trailers, because he hit my tow hitch. That's what
he
hit.
Oh, no, you never hit the tow hitch. Tow hitches will put a hole in your car.
Oh, my God. I know. And I don't know how fast he was going. I mean, I'm the only car in this parking lot, people. It's not like there was a bunch of people coming and going. You park a truck, you can't park it, like, in the front parking space. You have to drive it to around the corner and put it there. So I have no idea how this jack-off hit me, but he backed his little Porsche super fast. Was, I'm sure, just, like, trying to show off a little bit, and kaboom. His car, part of the bumper, because it's fiberglass, was ripped upwards. The entire back end was pushed in about probably 8 or 9 inches. Like, I don't know.
Well, you know, those hitches, they just stick out into the driving areas, you know, and they just stick out and they just jump out in front of your car and smash it up.
Oh,
and you know what? It's a Porsche. It's going to cost him 10 times the normal rate to get that thing.
I know, I felt so bad. I was like, dude, and he's just like, and he's trying to call people, like, he's trying to call somebody, and he's on his phone, and he's like, I mean, chain smoking cigarettes, and he's just, I mean, this man is like 50 years old. We're not talking about like some 20-something. This is like the dude in his midlife crisis that went out yesterday, bought a Porsche, is quite proud of himself, and then crushed it hitting a truck. By the way, I didn't even have a ball.
Was his girlfriend in the car?
There was nobody with him.
Okay, I was thinking the girlfriend was in the car and he had to call his wife. See, that's what I had pictured.
Yeah, you know, that could have happened, actually. It's so funny. Chad and I went online last night. We were trying to figure out how much that Porsche cost.
And?
Oh, my God, like $200,000. I'm like,
This isn't funny, but I'm laughing. I don't know why. It's just
That's the thing, Glenn, is... I couldn't laugh in his face. That would have been rude. But I got in my car. I climbed up in my big old dented pickup truck, scratched like quarter of an inch long, and I climbed in. I was like, I have to post this on Facebook. I have to right now. I posted on Facebook was from the CBS parking lot.
And you know what's funny is I saw it and I called Jennifer and Chrissy Joy over. We both read it and we all had the same reaction. We read it and went, you read the first part of your post was kind of funny and you know, it was kind of serious and you were all worried. And then when you get to the punchline, we all had to laugh. I mean, everybody reading that had to crack up.
That's the thing. It's like I got so many comments about it on Facebook and a guy I went to high school with is like, am I a bad person for laughing at this? I'm like, no. Somebody else wrote, this is one of the few times a woman will witness a grown man cry when something happens to their beloved car. Yeah, So there's my story about, and you know, I loved it because Karen from Kentucky Performance Products wrote, and this is what I was like, wow, good point. She wrote, good thing, lucky he hit you and not the other way around. Could you imagine if I'd have hit the Porsche? I'd have killed
it. Oh, yeah.
It would have cost me, oh, my gosh, so much money. So, yeah, thanks, Karen, for bringing a little reality check. But it wasn't me. I didn't do it. I even to the guy, I was like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. He's like, it's not your fault. Oh, boy.
Let's just quit on that. I think we've done a whole show right now. I'm kind of worn out. Jennifer,
right.
What's Kevin up today?
My face hurts from laughing. I'm sorry.
Poor guy.
Oh, okay. On today's show, crazy.
God, I
good
hope he's
fun.
Not a horse person and yeah. His wife's listening.
Okay, I'm going to get through this. Take a deep breath.
I'm going to go on mute.
Okay, you go on mute. Okay, on today's show, we have crazy good fun with horse agility and Jennifer Gruber, kind of a fun new thing they're doing with horses in many, many countries nowadays. And we got crazy news stories and headlines and crazy good fun with tack care myths and methods. Compliments from our gal Lisa at the Chronicle of the Horse, and it's Freestyle Friday, so count on plenty of crazy stories, as we just did, and cranky comments.
And today's Daily Mini. Well, today's Daily Winnie is for Sandy Lovato. Of course, Frankie Lovato, our resident correspondent of all things horse racing. His wife, Sandy, posted pictures of her darn cute puppies. You're not the only one in the world that has darn cute puppies, Jamie. She has some darn cute puppies. So I'm going to tell you, they're little white. I don't know. Where are they? I posted a picture there.
I think they're golden labs. And
really,
they're so stinking cute. Oh.
Are they white when they're born like that, golden labs?
Well, I don't know. I mean, she's got a yellow lab that looks like the mama in the pictures, but oh, my gosh, these suckers have, like, the blue eyes and the white, creamy body. Oh, you know what? It still doesn't make me want one because the two I have are wearing me out. But good for you, Sandy.
Hey, we haven't had a dog report this week, a puppy report. How are they doing? I know your first day back, you were about ready to kill them. Or last Friday, you were about ready to kill them, if I remember right. So have things improved, or are they just eating your house apart and peeing everywhere?
Well, you know what? It's funny you should mention that right now, because they're currently both being little angels sleeping on the pillow that is currently right to the right of my feet, and one of them has the worst gas. Oh, I keep fanning them. I'm like, ugh.
Jamie, you need to change dog foods or something.
Yeah.
You know, I actually talked to the vet about it, because the little boy dog will actually fart out loud. Like, you can hear it from across the room. And so I asked her, I said, what is the deal? I'm like, these guys smell. They've got some gastric problems. And she's like, well, what do they eat? I said, well, let's see, we do the Purina One, the food, puppy food, and then, you know, that's pretty much it. It's very consistent. Oh, but they do eat horse poop and they eat chicken poop. And she's like, there you go.
That'll do it. Double the amount of poop in that system.
Yeah, chicken poop apparently is very sticky. On the other end.
I'm going to go on mute. I'm sorry.
You're killing
so,
us here this morning.
Yeah, I know. And I've got another daily winning. So yesterday was just kind of one of those days where I had plans for like the whole entire day, and all my plans kind of changed and everything got canceled and moved around. The only thing that remained constant was my 5 o'clock lesson last night, where my girls, Julia and Becca, came on out to ride the horses, and they wanted to go on a trail ride. So I'm like, great, let's go. We hop on a trail ride, and, you know, I told you guys that my front yard is 10,000 acres of desert. But there's this barbed wire fence that runs along the front of it. Well, until you have to go like a mile down the road.
Wait a minute. They fence in the desert?
Yeah, well, across the road from my house, because this is actually not public land. It's kind of like land that belongs to the state, I guess. They don't allow trespassing on it. Well, lo and behold, Glenn, somebody took a big pair of bolt cutters and cut the fence directly in front of my house. I have no idea who it was. I know. I mean,
okay, right.
I have no idea.
Nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing.
And it ironically is directly in front of my house, too. So we might have had to take advantage of that. And what I didn't realize when that person cut the fence is – just inside the fence is like a little dirt ditch canal type thing. And it's pretty deep, but it's very narrow. So I figure the horse can go down and come back up it, and it'll be no problem. So I go down it with my horse and come back up it. And then Becca goes to go down and back up it. And her horse, mind you, she's an intermediate beginner rider. Her horse decides to jump the entire ditch.
Oh, no.
The ditch. Well, she started squalling because she actually thought it was the coolest thing she'd ever felt. She's like, is that what jumping feels like? Oh, my God, it was awesome. Well, then poor Julia, who can be a little bit dramatic, she gets to the top of it. It's only like 2.5 feet down and then 2.5 feet back up. She starts screaming. She's like, I can't do it. Oh, my God, I can't do it. Of course, she's on my, like, half-blind horse. I'm like, he needs your confidence. Move him forward. Move him forward. She's like, oh, I can't. So I had to leave my horse in the desert, get off, go across the ditch, get her off the horse, then lead our half-blind horse across the ditch, and then give her a leg back up to get back on the horse. And then we rode. She was never the same. She was never the same for the rest of the day. Bless her little heart. But you know what, girls? Your daily Winnie is we made it. We made it. Over the ditch and back home. We didn't try to come back over the ditch. To get home, we went out the other way. So, good job, ladies. Good job. I know it was dramatic, but fantastic.
Well, good job, ladies. That's, you know, it is traumatic when you do those things for the first time. Yeah, it's kind of traumatic when you try that.
Yeah.
It is kind of traumatic.
Sorry about that. I'm a pretty good instructor most of the time. Sometimes I lose my mind a little bit and like, oh, we can do this. Come on, let's go.
That's Jennifer. That's Jennifer's instruction style. Get over it. Just do it.
Yeah, just go for it. I'm like, what's the worst that can happen? She's like, the horse could fall on me and I could die. I'm like, no. Come on. Really? Oh, God. But go ahead.
Well, I was just going to – no, go ahead. You're on a roll. I'm not going to stop you today. I could just sit back and not even be on the show today. It'd be good. I could I could do it, Jennifer. I could paint my nails like Jennifer does during the show.
Well, I just am having the hardest time finding a home for my pony. We have that little Hackney pony, and he's just too small for me to ride. And he needs some training, so I've been trying to find a place that'll take him. And, I mean, I posted an ad on Craigslist for the past 2 days trying to find him a home, but not for free, for $250. So, you know, nobody's going to – he wouldn't be worth that. He's dead, you know what I mean? So, because he's 11-2, and I am finding it the most ridiculous group of people email from Craigslist. I'm done with Craigslist after yesterday. I put on my ad, Glenn, I said, this pony is not broke. He is not kid safe. He needs a lot of training. He is sound. He is friendly. He leads. He bow. I taught him to bow. He does all this stuff. But he is not broke to ride. He is not. He's not ride safe. And
you mean you didn't lie in your ad like everybody else? What's wrong with you?
Believe it or not, I did not lie. And so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you lie or not. I could say that is the best darn pony in the world. I'll still get the same responses. Here's one. I think we'd like to come out and try him out. If you don't mind, do you have a saddle and bridle that fits him? My son is a great rider. And I was like, okay. So I call the guy. I'm like, hey, just to let you know, this horse is not broke to ride. Like, you can't come out and ride him. He's like, oh, but my son, he's 2, and he is a great rider.
He's 2?
Like, 2? He's like, yeah, I've got a 3-year-old son, too. They're both really good on horses. I'm like, they don't have motor skills at 2.
You can't even walk at 2.
Barely even walk at 2. 2 years old. 2. And so then I had somebody else coming out yesterday afternoon. They're 4 blocks from my house. And they call me, and they're like, we're lost. We're not coming. I'm like, turn left. You're at my house right now. No, I'm not good with addresses and stuff. I'm just going to go. Okay.
Okay, that's what a GPS is for.
I know. So this
you're not
is
good
ridiculous.
Addresses.
It's crazy, Glenn. I mean, people all the time. This one woman, she emails me. Granted, this is a $250 unbroke pony. She says, I need some photos of his feet up close. He looks like he's clubby. And I was like, I got offended. I was like, I said he's sound. Clearly he's sound. I'm not sending you
he's
pictures.
Clubby?
Look,
how can like feet that small be clubby?
I don't know, but he's very straight. And
the size of silver dollars. I had a Hackney pony that was that size. Their feet are teeny. They're the cutest little feet, though. They are, aren't they adorable feet when you come to, I mean, if you consider horse feet adorable, they are adorable little feet. And cleaning them, instead of a, you know, instead of using a hoof pick, you actually just use like a very large sewing needle or something like that, because hoof picks are almost too big for their little tiny feet.
You just throw a spoon in there.
Safety pin would work good to clean your feet.
I'm just amazed at the, first of all, the responses that I've been getting, Glenn, are immediate. I mean, the second I post the ad, I get a million responses to the Craigslist ad, but they're just so ridiculous. Like, I posted the ad yesterday, and 30 seconds later, I got a response. Do you still have the pony? Like, it's at the top of the list on Craigslist. Of course I still have it. I just put it on there 30 seconds ago. Then people are like, where are you? Does he really bow? I'm going through the list right now.
Does he really bow? Nobody cares if he's broke. They just want to know if he really bows.
Yeah, exactly. It's just ridiculous.
You know what
so,
we should do next week? Let's figure this out when we come back on Tuesday. Let's figure this out. Let's have a contest next week, and we'll get some prizes. We'll get that worked out. But we'll get some prizes. I just thought of this as you're saying it. We'll have people post on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, on our Facebook, the most ridiculous horse-selling Craigslist ads in their area.
Oh, that'll
so,
be fun.
Look over the weekend at your Craigslist in your area and save the ads that you're going, oh, my God, this one doesn't mean what it says, first of all. You know darn well they're lying. Or it's just plain ridiculous. Because that's Jamie's new name. We're just going to call her Ridiculous Jamie from now on, because another ridiculous thing happened to her yesterday in the Craigslist ad. So what do you think, Jamie? That's a good idea, isn't it? We'll have them post that next week.
I think that would be great. I'm a huge fan of reading stupid things in Craigslist, and I think I've filtered through a bunch of them and read them on the show before, actually. You know, here's a response. Has he ever bucked? We don't ride him. What do you not understand about we don't ride this pony? He's too small. Oh, then I got one that said, oh, my daughter's a really good trainer. She's 11, and she trains horses, and she's only 5'6". I'm like, I'm 5'3". I wrote in the ad that I'm 5'3", and I'm too big for this horse. Yes.
You know what it is, Jamie?
Please.
You care too much.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I think that is the problem.
I just care about where he's going
to
go and stuff like that.
Yeah, you need to find yourself somebody who's in the Hackney pony business and say, guess what I've got for you?
That's it. Can you do that for me, Jen?
Sure.
I'll tell you, the Hackney I... Yeah. The Hackney I had was probably what? It was 12 hands, maybe, Jennifer? It was.
And there is no way you could ever have paid me to put a human on his back.
No, he was a driving pony, and let me tell you, he could drive. He could drive. It was like driving a Ferrari. It was like driving that guy's Porsche with the dents in it.
Yeah,
you know,
he was squirrely. He was a squirrely little piece of wet noodle. Yeah.
He was.
Jennifer,
he was,
I got to ask you. Jennifer, when is Glenn's birthday?
Rolex.
I'm gonna be in town. Guess what I have for you for your birthday?
You gonna put a big red bow on him?
I'm gonna put a big red bow. I will put him in the cargo hold of the airplane. I will fly that sucker on into you, and you know, for only I'll even eat the cost. The $250. I'll just give him to you.
You're gonna fold him up, put him in a flat rate envelope, and send him out.
He'd probably fit in a dog carrier in the plane.
I know. So just, I have a present, and if you choose to accept it, great. If not, I tried. There you go.
Is he black? Is he like a black?
He's a bay.
He's a bay.
Yeah, dark bay.
He's a blood bay with black legs.
You have to send me a picture of him. He's posted on Facebook. He sounds really cute.
He is stinking cute. Hello, and he loves kids, and he loves Glenn. So that's all that matters.
You know what? It's funny. Jennifer won't let me have a Greyhound, but she'd probably let me have a Hackney. You know, that's the funny part.
I don't have to walk the Hackney at 3 a.m. in the rain.
Honey, I found the pony a home. We just have to get him to Kentucky. Perfect.
See, we're fun to drive. So. Jennifer would not drive in the cart with me with that pony, because he had this habit of backing into a ditch when you're out. Well, he was a champion, actually the Ohio State champ cart pony, doing the high step and all that stuff.
He was the
and we didn't
roadster
know that when
champion.
We bought him.
Roadsters.
Yeah, he was a roadster champion. We didn't know that when we bought him. We just bought him at an auction, and we thought he was cute. And we knew he drove because we saw him driving. And he was broke. I mean, he was very well broke, and he was a great driver. And, of course, he had a lot of action, but boy, when they train those hackneys, and I know I'm going to get letters, but when they train those hackneys, you know, they freak him out. So every time you walk by his stall, he was, like, plastered against the back of the skull, scared to death and shaking. But the only way, Kava is the only way we got that pony to have his feet done, because he would stand straight up the entire time the farrier was there, and our farrier finally said, I ain't doing this anymore. And
seriously?
We said, well, try.
Yeah.
The funny part was,
though, because I'm not into the whole wacko horse thing, but he was so teensy-weensy, you just had to laugh at him.
I know. It was funny because he'd do bad things, but he did bad things. He was 11 and a half hands. You know, it was like, okay, you just pushed him, and he went, oh, you know.
Yeah. It's like, get over here. Get over here. Get on this trailer. You know, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just like a big dog, exactly. And he's really fun. Like I said, I taught him to bow, and he knows how to I teach all the kids how to pick feet out with him, because they're just tiny, and you just hold him. Like, what is he going to do?
Exactly. He's not going to kick you. Well, this
exactly.
Half hour. I think I better do a commercial now. This half hour is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Choose Kentucky Performance Products supplements, because the horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. This week, I want to speak with you about Endure Extra. Are you struggling to put weight on your horse? Is your horse maxed out on grain but still needs more energy? Are you dealing with muscle and metabolic challenges? If so, try Endure Extra. Endure Extra contains 50% fat, which provides low starch energy while reducing the risk of grain overload. Endure Extra is a super concentrated blend of fat, so you can feed as little as 8 ounces per day. Each 8-ounce serving contains 1,000 something or others of natural vitamin E, which supports normal muscle function and maintains immunity. Gain the inside advantage with Endure Extra by visiting kppusa.com. So what the heck is a 1,000 IU, Jamie?
It's an international unit, Glenn.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You know why I know that? Because I Googled it. An international unit is it measures biological activity or effect of a substance. It's abbreviated as IU. Hold on. Wikipedia is loading. And it is used to quantify vitamins, hormones, some medications, vaccines, blood products, and similarly biologically active substances.
Oh, there you go. So it has 1,000 IU of natural vitamin E, which we still don't know what that is, but it sounds important, and it sounds like a lot, so I'm sure it's terrific. And that's Endure Extra at kppusa.com. And I'm sure right now Karen is listening to this commercial going, oh, my God, I can't believe they let him read it. Why wasn't Jamie reading my commercial? So
ooh,
I guess
insulin unit, too. It could be insulin unit or a biological equivalent.
I know they listen on Fridays. Could one of you post on our Facebook page exactly what an IU is in this case, and we'd appreciate it. So, we're going to have our first.
Go ahead. I'm just being Wikipedia. Go ahead.
Well, our first guest is coming up. We're going to talk about horse agility, but I wanted to ask you, did you see what I posted on Facebook yesterday? I know it's made its way all across Facebook, is the video of the Amish towing service pulling the milk truck out of his lane.
It's awesome. Awesome.
That's where I grew up, Central Pennsylvania. You know, that's where we grew up. I grew up with the Amish. But I saw that video of the four horses pulling the huge, gigantic tractor-trailer milk truck who was stuck in the snow, and you had these four horses, you know, four wide, pulling that truck out of the snow on the road. That just said it all. It was just the greatest video. And if you haven't seen it, go to our Facebook page and take a look. It was terrific. That just brought back memories in my old home and where I grew up, because I used to see the horses around all the time pulling the plows and stuff.
Well, what's cool about this video too, Glenn, is that there's three, and it looks like three Belgians. You could correct me if I'm wrong, but there's three Belgians on the left side, and then there's one ginormous. This one is like two hands taller than the rest of them. The one that's on the far right.
I think the one that's on the far right of the driver is a Percheron, like I used to own. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what it looks
three
like.
Three Belgians and a Percheron. And, oh, my gosh, the three horses are struggling, and then all of a sudden this Percheron decides to walk forward, and the whole thing moves. So it's like he's the lazy, strong one.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Everybody go look at it. I loved it.
You know, this is kind of interesting considering the guest we had on yesterday, you know, talking about training the Budweiser Clydesdale. By the way, if you missed that, check out yesterday's show. You're going to want to hear about training Budweiser Clydesdale for commercials. But, yeah, that's a Percheron. That's about the size of the one I owned. He's probably around 18, too. Yeah.
What are you doing with Hackneys and Clydesdales and Percherons?
I like ponies, and I like draft horses. I'm not a really in-between guy. I like little ponies and great big draft horses. I'm kind of yin and yang, you know, big and little, black and white. I'm kind of that way. So.
That's cool. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of strange things to do with horses, and something that I didn't even know existed until Jennifer found it. We have the best job because we learn so much. We're going to be the most educated horse people on the planet after doing this show for a year or two because we have the coolest guests and we're learning something every day. And when I saw what was in the show notes today about horse agility, and yes, we're talking about the kind of agility. We're not talking about agile horses necessarily. We're talking about horses that actually do horse agility, just like dog agility. You see them jumping through the hoops and up the ramp and down the ramp and, on the swing set and all that stuff and through the little tube. That's the kind of agility we're talking about, only with horses. And so we have Jennifer Gruber on the phone here, and she's going to tell us all about horse agility. Hi, Jennifer. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Good morning. I'm from Minnesota, Wisconsin, and it's a beautiful day here. So I'd love to share about what horse agility is all about. It's
well, that's
pretty
not
brand
something
new.
You hear. Well, I was going to say it is brand new, but that's not something you usually hear in the same sentence. I'm from Minnesota. And it's a beautiful day here. We don't usually hear that.
Yeah, it's at least it's not snowing. I'm actually starting to prepare the ark right now because we've had so much snowfall this winter that we're right on the St. Croix River, and oh my goodness, I think we're in for major flooding this year. So, but yeah, it is a gorgeous day here today. So. And it's morning to talk about horse agility.
I think it's a great morning to talk about it because you're right. It's fairly new. I had not heard of it. And I have so many questions. But first question is just give us like the Reader's Digest version of how it started and where it started.
It started with Vanessa B. She was with a group around 2003, just like what we do here in the United States. What I've done is that they've been playing with their horses on the ground, and they're doing obstacle courses and stuff, just playing to develop the relationship and rapport and horsemanship. And in 2009, she started going, wow, I wonder if there's anything like this anywhere that's in a competitive state, like with dog agility. And when she found out that there wasn't, she started horse agility in the United Kingdom, and that's where it all started. And it's actually in, I believe, about 5 countries right now. And we have 4 accredited trainers here in the United States, and me being one of them. And I just got accredited about a month ago. So it is brand new here in the United States, even though I've been doing similar things for about 4 years on the ground with my training, with teaching owners and their horses. And I actually do it under saddle with my toddlers and my young students. And so this has just been a natural progression for me in my horsemanship, in my training and instructing. And it's been really exciting to see where this is going.
Well, you know, it does. It sounds like fun. And, of course, you're right. When you're doing ground training and things, you're doing a lot of these things. Now, you know, not all of these things, because I've looked at the pictures, and you have some horses doing some interesting things. Now, tell us how it works. Is it like a course like the dog agility people do, where you're jumping through hoops and jumping over things? And tell us what a course is like and what kind of obstacles are on a course.
There's in a typical competitive time, you have 10 obstacles. And one of them would be like weaving in and out of cones, going over a bridge, doing a small jump, jumping through a hoop, standing in one place, backing up, leading, and there's about 10 of them. And there's about 5 different levels of ability when you're doing it. So you can be brand new with horses, or you can be really advanced in your horsemanship, where that, when in the advanced stages, you are at free liberty doing it. And so when we're teaching, let's say, weaving through the cones at your very first level, you are online with your horse, and you go with your horse weaving in and out of the cones. And what they're looking for is not only the technique of weaving in and out of the cones, but they're looking at your horsemanship. Is your horse happy? Are you on a loose lead rope? Is your horse with you? And so what I love about horse agility, it's not just about the competition. It is about the relationship with your horse. And they're looking at the safety of it. They're looking at the relationship. They're looking at a complete package. And as a trainer, that's how I train. I'm not looking for the blue ribbons. I'm looking for, how does this advance my relationship with my horse? So the obstacles end up being the cool part of developing that relationship. And in a complete course, so if you're doing a training, we don't have competitions yet in the United States, but February 28th, so next week, we can send in an online, we can take a videotape of it and send it to the Great Britain's Horse Agility, and they will judge it. So we videotape a lot. Right now we're going on our 3rd practice next Tuesday. So it encompasses a lot, but it's in the whole thing, it's just a whole lot of fun. And that's what we want to really stress, that this is something that is really, really fun.
Wow, cool. That's neat. So now my question is, I guess I have a lot of questions. Just to clarify for the listener, you're not riding the horses, and you're actually beside them, just like they are with the dogs.
Yes.
And at the advanced level, they're at liberty, which is really cool. But you are running
really
along.
Cool.
You have to run faster. You have to to keep up with your horse around the course.
Yes. But you know what they say, what Vanessa says in her literature, in our handbook, is that, you know, it can be all ages. They really don't want toddlers doing this, but the youngest gal we have right now is age 9, and we have women in their 60s and in our group, and which is wonderful. In a small town called Stillwater, Minnesota, we have a pretty large group of people who get together to do this. And the interest, and we're all levels of, you know, I think of what we are when in our horsemanship, in our riding abilities, when you see a little 9-year-old girl doing it with her horse, and when you see teenagers doing it and we're all giggling, it's pretty cool. But, yeah, it starts online. It starts with they require like a 10-foot lead rope and a halter. And everyone is required to wear a helmet, so that's where the safety is, and good boots. And so it's really, really simple. And for anyone who would like to start something like this, we just use what we have at our barn. We have cones that you can get from any hardware store. We have poles that you can get at any hardware store. We have very handy people who make a pedestal. We have a bridge that is made. We're designing right now a hoop for the horse to jump through. And so, I mean, it's pretty simple. It's not like it has to be elaborate. And they do, you know, I'm an accredited trainer, so it helps to have a trainer to be able to teach how to get a horse to do this, you know, calmly and safely. It does help. But, you know, I know a lot of people who are doing this in their natural horsemanship anyway. So it can be a natural progression for that also.
So. Jenny, take us through, if you would, so our listeners can kind of get an idea of the process involved.
Sure.
Take your average riding horse with your average skill set and your, if you can call it, average rider, somebody who trail rides and maybe goes to a couple of local shows every year. Take one of the obstacles that's on the beginner level course and walk us through how you would teach the horse to do that obstacle at a very good skill level in order to be judged. I actually have the page up here on my computer. One of the ones that I thought was interesting, the horse has to walk over a pole on the ground while he's on his loose lead rope, stop with the front feet on one side of the pole and the back feet on the other side of the pole. Explain what the judge is looking for on that obstacle, common mistakes that a horse might do at the beginning and the human might do at the beginning, and how that one kind of works out. Because that's a pretty straightforward one, but I can also see that being a skill that would be oh so very useful for your average person with a horse that needs to behave himself while they're handling him on the ground.
Sure. It takes a leading skill for one thing. It takes a stopping skill, and it also takes a backup. And the pole on the ground is the obstacle. And the obstacle, when a horse goes over it, they can be a little claustrophobic. And that sounds really funny, but all of these obstacles, if it's new to a horse, can be very, very, their prey drive can come up. So when anything goes underneath them, they can get kind of antsy, and some horses prance and dance and move around. So what the judges look for is that if the horse walks calmly alongside of you on a loose lead rope, that the horse stops when you stop with the 2 feet over the pole and then backs up when you ask him to back up with a loose lead, with no force, no, you know, frustration. And that's what the judge looks for, the unity and the harmony of that. As you teach it, is how I would teach it, is that will my horse walk in unity with me on a loose lead rope? Will my horse stop in unity with me? And will my horse back up? And each step, you know, for a horse that doesn't know how to do that, I just do it one step at a time until all of a sudden. So let's say I want my horse to take 3 steps in unity with his nose to my shoulder with a loose lead rope. I'll do one step and reward my horse with a, what a good boy, you know, a pat, a treat. And then I'll see if he'll keep walking with me. Will he stop when I stop? We can use the word ho. You know, a lot of people lead their horses in front, you know, and they're dragging their horses. We're looking for a horse to come with us, to be with us, to be our partner. And then I would introduce the pole, and then I'd bring my horse up to the pole, make sure that he was confident at looking at the pole. And if he wasn't, then I'd back him up and ask him then again to come up to the pole. Can you walk over the pole completely? Is my horse confident walking over that pole? And then I just progress until my horse will stop with his 2 feet in front of the pole and wait until I ask him to back up. Then can my horse back up over the pole? So there is a progression that we do in teaching for a horse so that he understands the cues, our body language, either our voice commands, and then that he'll do it with us. And it's surprising. I'm sorry, yes?
Go ahead. You're going to finish up. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's surprising how a horse can be very nervous putting its 2 front feet over the pole.
Well, and he can't see it down there.
Yeah, and he's going, oh, my gosh, what is that? So we really want to take the time it takes and be you know, very watching our horse's reactions and making sure that they're calm while we're doing it. And when the horse looks at us and goes, I got it, it's a really cool feeling. And we go, cool. And you should hear the giggles. You know, oh, this is so exciting. And it is. It's really exciting watching our horses learn while we learn. It is. It's a woohoo.
Yeah, woohoo. At what point in the levels does the horse go off lead? Because you said there's, what, 5 different levels?
Yep.
And what level do they go off lead? Because that could get really funny.
It is. My horse, when I'm teaching, I've only had my boy, I lost my schoolmaster a year ago on New Year's Eve. And so I just got my newest horse this past year, and he's just learning this like with everybody else. And he's able to do some of the skills at liberty, But again, it's when he's confident and I'm confident enough to bring him there. I haven't, of course, since we've only been, you know, about a month, I haven't done any testing yet, you know, with him with horse agility. We're just in the training phases. Mm-hmm. But you want to make sure that your horse at every step, you have to pass every level to get to that liberty phase.
So is the off lead, so in this scenario, you're going to take your reasonably experienced horse agility horse and your reasonably experienced horse agility handler to a competition. Is it like in dressage at a certain level in dressage, you must wear a double bridle? At a certain level in dressage, the double bridle is optional. Does the lead off lead work the same way in horse agility?
Yeah, I think from what I believe, like I said, this is new to us. You have to pass the other levels to get up to the liberty, you know, the liberty.
So at a certain level, then you're expected to have that skill set. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to, I don't have to do that tomorrow, you know, on all the obstacles, because my horse would look at me and say, I really don't like you. You know, he's not ready for it.
Now,
and that's what the whole thing is about.
You said there's no sanctioned competitions in the U.S., right? And you have to write to Europe and try to get sanctioned that way. Is that correct?
Well, what we have right now, what Horse Agility in Great Britain is doing for us, is that they are doing certain times that we can submit an online video to them. So if my group in Stillwater, if any of them are ready to do an online competition or a freestyle competition, we'd videotape them and then send it to Great Britain to have that judged. Because the other horse agility that we have in the United States is in Bend, Oregon. And so, you know, we really can't commute back and forth, you know, to be competing with them right now. It would be kind of ridiculous. But so they've made that for us that we can keep progressing. And they'll do the judging. Eventually, the accredited trainers will be the judges here in the United States. So.
Okay. I just, you know, do your own thing, girl. Like, get it in the U.S. Make, you know, you start the U.S. branch of it. And it sounds like that's what hopefully you guys are going to do, just learning a little bit more before you do it. So good for you.
Yeah.
I you don't have to write to them, British Horse Society, and get there. Do it. You own it.
Well, we are doing it. That's the exciting thing. We have, you know, and what's really, really fun is that just a small group of women at our barn called Painted Sky started doing a play group a year ago, and it's progressed from that. And Kelly Murphy is the one who first saw what horse agility was, and she says, we are already doing this. She came up to me and said, Jen, would you like to do this? And I said, I've never heard of it. And that's, we just got the ball rolling, like in 3 days. And then we just started the play dates then. And so, I mean, that's where it starts. You just, with a group of enthusiastic people who want to have fun with their horses and be safe. And it is really, I'm telling you, it is so fun watching. And it's fun being a trainer for it. It's just, for me, a natural progression of my natural horsemanship training. So I love it. I'm excited. And I think that from just even Facebook, people who are contacting me off of Facebook over it, I think it can go really well in the United States.
I think it will, too. It's because it's fun, and people are always looking for fun things to do with their horses. And this is a fun thing you can do with your horse on the ground. You don't have to be riding it. So, Jamie, I think you should really get that little Hackney Pony doing this agility stuff.
I'm sending them to you to start, Glenn.
Send them to Minnesota. I'll do it.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, there you go. So. All right, Jennifer.
I have a lot of little girls who would love that.
See? Perfect. We found your little pony a home. So where can people find out more about it?
You can look on the internet for www.horseagility. I think it's uk.com.
Well, and also, you can go to thehorseagilityclub.com, because I just posted it on our Facebook page, and
yes,
I know you guys
have
been posting it, too. And if you go to Horse Agility Club United States on Facebook. You'll find their Facebook page as well.
Yes,
and I love the picture there of the horse, full-size horse, jumping through a hoop. I think Beaker would probably do that, Jennifer. I think you could probably get Beaker to jump through a hoop.
Jumping through the hoop would be a really good challenge. A lot of the stuff that I saw him doing, they have all kinds of great videos on those websites. I'm going, yeah, we could do that. Probably jumping through the hoop would be the toughest because he's a really naturally high-headed horse.
But he absolutely, positively loves horse treats. He would
jump through a backflip for a cookie. He will.
Yeah. So
I think horse will do almost anything for a cookie.
Yeah.
I'll do almost anything for a cookie. So thank you, Jennifer. We appreciate you being with us today. This is terrific.
Well,
we're going to keep an eye on you and let us know how it's going. And when you have your first United States-sanctioned event that you're the president of, let us know.
Well, thank you so much. I so appreciate you contacting me and letting me share about what horse agility is. It's really exciting.
That's fun, and you'll be getting that pony in about 2 or 3 days when she ships it up.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks so much.
I'm telling you, first one to put him on a trailer gets him.
And that's right, another Jenny. Skill is a trailer skill, so let's do it.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Just Facebook me. Facebook me. You can have him.
Okay. Well, you all be
have
blessed
a weekend,
and have
Jenny.
A wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye, Jenny.
Hey, I just wanted to throw a warning out for everybody that there is, and I've gotten this 2 or 3 times in the last 10 minutes, there's a new virus going around Facebook, and if you get a chat from a friend of yours on Facebook, and it says, you, hey, can I post this picture of you on my Facebook page? And then there's a link, do not click the link, because it is a virus. Mm-hmm. So I read about that this morning, and I started getting them just within the last 10 minutes. So if you get, and it's going to be a friend of yours, it's going to be somebody that you chat with on Facebook regularly, and it says, hey, can you post this picture of you on my Facebook page? And then there's a what looks like a Facebook link. It is not. So don't click on that.
Good to know.
That's my tech advice
I've been
for the
sure.
day.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The song today is brought to you by Pocket Stable, and let's be honest, if you haven't downloaded Pocket Stable yet to your iPhone, if you have an iPhone, and you haven't downloaded this little application for $3.99, skip the third cup of Starbucks today and download this application. It's been created to make your life easier. Just go to PocketStable.com or go to the App Store on the iPhone, download this application, and keep track of all your vaccines, your farriers, and when they're coming up again. It'll remind you of that the vaccines are due so you can actually get them done on time and not be late. And I'm speaking from experience. You know, you have an iPhone. It has the availability to have all those cool tools. Go to pocketstable.com, spend the $3.99, and you'll be happy you did. Now, Monday we mentioned that we're going to be off there, Jamie. And the reason is we have our recorded musical episode. This we had Dan Roberts. We switched it up a little bit. We got a cowboy on the line.
Hey,
yeah.
Glenn, you're breaking up a little bit. So you fix it. I'll tell all about Dan.
Okay.
We had Dan Roberts. DanRoberts.net. We have him. We recorded the episode this past week, but we're going to have him on Monday. And okay, two words: Garth Brooks. The man has written songs for Garth Brooks. He has toured with Garth Brooks. He has a great, heartwarming Garth Brooks story that brought me to tears and also brought him to tears in the whole thing. And, of course, you know, Glenn, I'm sure he just quit listening because he doesn't like to cry. So, anyway, you're going to definitely want to listen. Definitely going to want to listen on Monday to hear his story and hear everything. So, and hear the song. So, this is a song by Dan Roberts, and it's called Only in Texas.
Boot wearing calf, roping cattle, ranching gate, open buckle wearing, barbecuing beer, drinking pig ropes and hay, baling, friendly, driving fiddle, playing son of a gun. Double hocking steer, tripping washer, pitching cow, tipping snake, shooting jukebox, and honky tonking, haggard looking church, going W voting proud. Where they're from? Yeah, Texas.
only in Texas. There's pride in the eyes of the ones who wear that brand. 'Cause it's a whole nother country between the Red and the Rio Grande. Yeah, we got it all, only in Texas. Busting bull, riding trail, dusting barrel, racing bull, dogging hats, stetching boots, justin' rodeo and wrangler, wearing spurs, jingling real cowhands. Beef eating, cattle grazing, two-stepping steer, hazing, chip kicking, chili cooking, Lone Star appreciation, pistol packing deer, tracking Alamo, remembering land. Yeah, Texas, only in Texas. There's pride in the eyes of the ones who wear that brand. 'Cause it's a whole nother country between the Red and the Rio Grande. And we've got it all, only in Texas. Hey, we got it all, y'all, only in Texas.
That's Only in Texas by Dan Roberts, and we're going to be playing a lot more of his music and everything else going on there. We're going to be chatting with him about his life and all the fun things he's done with Garth Brooks, of all people. So we'll be chatting about all of that on Monday. You'll get to hear our recorded show, and then Jamie and I will be back again live on Tuesday. So we'll be back doing our live show again on Tuesday. Do I sound any better, Jamie, or am I still breaking up?
A lot better, Glenn. You're doing okay, my friend.
Okay, good. That happens to us. You know, we've had a pretty good week technology-wise, but every once in a while it just catches us.
Yeah, it does. Well, hey, I just want to mention that, of course, you're listening to Horses in the Morning today, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. So check them out. They're on, you know, I mean, anybody that sells products, supplements and stuff like that has Kentucky Performance Products because they are the bomb. Anyway, of course, we have our weekly Chronicle report coming up from Lisa. And you ladies, if you're a tack cleaner and you have your own opinion about cleaning tack, and you've got your apparently a lot of women have their own opinion about cleaning tack. That's what Jennifer was telling us. So we're going to do a little bit of tack cleaning talk because you have to do that. You have to have an opinion on it, right? So we're going to try to get Lisa on here in a minute.
And let me tell you, I do Horse Tip Daily, and I've heard varying opinions from various experts on how to clean tack over in Horse Tip Daily, and we do a lot of tips on that. If you go to horsetipdaily.com and look under the subject tack cleaning, you'll see we've had a bunch of experts comment on that. But while we're waiting for Lisa, I wanted to mention off our Facebook page that Katie from KPP posted, Jamie did a wonderful job describing IU used in our commercial. IU is the abbreviation for International Unit, and it describes the amount of vitamin E in the Dore Extra. Across many science disciplines, IU is used in lieu of mass units like MG, because it's a consistent measure of the amount of a particular substance, be it a vitamin, hormone, etc., no matter what forms the substance is in, like chemical structure or compound. Okay, I'm not sure that helped me at all, Katie, but I still don't know what an IU is. I want to see what an IU is. I want to see it. I have to see it. I'm very visual.
Wait,
so
now look at her post underneath there, because then she gave you an example, Glenn. For instance, 0.667 milligrams of the natural form of vitamin E and 1 milligram of synthetic vitamin E both provide 1 UI of vitamin E. Does this help? No. No, not at all.
That's funny. That's funny. Anyway, so thank you, Katie, for posting it and at least giving us a try. You know, at least giving us a try anyway.
Yeah, I love it. No, that's not helpful at all. Thanks. Hey, give us the story you were telling me about a little bit earlier. I want to know more about this event writer, Phoebe Buckley.
Oh, you know, we did. I don't know if you got to listen to the show the other day, but we did a show where we had an author on, and her name was Sonia Meyer, and she wrote the book Dasha, the Flight of the Russian Gypsies, and she talked all about her life growing up, and she during World War II. She was living in the forest, and she actually was with the gypsies. And then today I saw a headline on BBC, Romani Gypsy Rider Breaking Away from Her Roots. And she's in a very popular event, Rider Phoebe Buckley in England, and she was a Romani Gypsy. So we're going to try. We told Sonia we wanted to get her back because her life was so fascinating. And we want to try doing that. We're going to get her back, and I want to get Phoebe or – how do you say her first name? Phoebe.
Phoebe.
I want to get her back on the same show. I think it would be absolutely fascinating, and that's where why I posted that, just because it was sort of a follow up to our show on Tuesday. But we have Lisa on the phone. I'm going to do two things here. Hold with me, Jamie. I'm going to get Lisa on the phone. Hi, Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse. How are you?
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good. Can you hold on 1 second? Stay right there, though, because.
Yep.
I think it might be embarrassment time for Jamie because one of her students is calling in by the name of Julia. And if you don't mind, Lisa, just hold on there. We're going to find out what Julia wants. Hi, Julia, and welcome to Horses in the Morning. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Good. Do you have embarrassing
Julia.
Things to say about Julia? Wait a minute. I'm going to put Jamie on hold because she really doesn't need to be in on this conversation.
So
do you have bad things to say about Jamie?
I have only positive things to say.
Oh,
I love her. She's the best person ever.
Oh, man, you put her up to this.
I can't lie.
Oh,
I can't lie.
I wanted the dirt. I wanted the good stuff.
No, listen to me. I was just calling in because I finally got to listen to the show this morning because I got up early enough to listen. And we had a very wonderful adventure yesterday with my boyfriend, Will. And so I wanted to call in and say thank you for your support. And it was very, very scary yesterday, and I'm just so glad you're there. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Aw, what a sweetheart you are. Yeah, Julie is the one who rides our half-blind horse, Will, and she has a particular affection for him. And when the ditch proved a little too difficult for Will, Julia was right there supporting. Wait, no, she screamed.
Oh, wait a minute. Were you the ditch girl that she talked about earlier in the show?
I'm always the ditch girl. I have a half-blind horse.
Oh, you did great. You did great. So did you hear the beginning of the show when I sold you out?
No, it's okay. I was just starting to get logged on, but you can sell me out. It's okay.
She did. You go back and listen to the beginning of the show. She sold you out.
I know. It's okay. Will's the best horse ever, and Jamie's just the best person ever to be supportive. And it was nice because, you know, he has a hard time, and it was a pretty deep ditch, people. So I just want to let you know, it wasn't like a little speed bump. It was deep.
She made it sound like it was 12 inches across, and that's the way she made it sound.
No, it was pretty deep, and for him, you know, and then he wanted to turn around on his blind side and go back down a ditch on his blind side, and then I just stood there in the middle of the two ditches and was like, Jamie, what do I do?
Yeah, it was great. It was good fun and good times, and I, again, not the best option for two advanced beginners, so I might rethink that option, but at least somebody did cut the fence.
Crawling through the barbed wire fence and through the ditch into the private desert is not a good option?
That's a great option.
No, but we're going to make it a good option because I'm going to go out there and pack that baby. Make it a nice, smooth roll secretly, maybe at like midnight when no one can see me.
That's a great idea. I'll meet you out there at midnight. Well, Julia, thank you so much.
Julia. Hey, Julia,
all right,
don't
you guys
call
have
back.
A good day. Yeah.
Don't call back again until you have something that, you know, some good gossip on Jamie that would get her in trouble for a week. That's what we want to hear about.
All right.
Jeez,
I'll work on it. Don't worry. I'll work on it.
All right. Thanks,
no.
Julia.
All right. You guys have a good day.
Bye.
Hey. Hey, Jennifer, did you save her number? We have to make sure we have that for future blackmail purposes. All right,
you're,
Lisa,
you're
sorry
bad.
About that interruption.
No problem.
How are you this week?
I'm doing great. How are you guys? Sounds like you're having a busy show today.
Yes, we are. It's fun, though. It's Freestyle Friday, you know.
Yep.
I don't know how it ended up that you got on Freestyle Friday. You must be like every week going, oh, my God, I have to be on with them again.
No way. It's a lot of fun.
And you're bringing up a controversial subject today.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to go ahead and give a disclaimer before I talk about this. I'm probably not the best person to do it since I'm terrible about cleaning my tech.
Okay. So what are we talking about?
A couple, I don't know when it came out exactly. I think it was maybe a year or so ago. Sarah Leeser, who is our managing editor, wrote a really super article on taking care of your tech. And
okay.
It's really good. It talks about a lot of interesting things that I'd never thought about. Things like it depends what kind of leather you have. You know, if your saddle comes from Europe and it's made with European leather, then you might want to use European cleaning products because they're sort of tailor-made for that. But it talks a little bit about just small things you can do to take care of your tack. It says, you know, dust is a really big problem for leather because it basically acts as like a tiny little exfoliator, which is not what you want for your saddle. And so it says, you know, even if every day you can go ahead and just wipe everything down before you put it away, just make sure you get the, you know, like extra dirt and dust off of it. It makes everything so much better. It helps keep your tack, you know, lasting longer, which is what everyone wants because tack is really expensive. So,
except for Jamie, who buys cheap bridles.
I got to tell you, Lisa, you know, the whole clean your tack thing, because there's so much controversy, you know, I've worked for people that are like, oh, no, you have to put olive oil on your bridle when you're done with it. And then another woman was like, you have to wipe it down, and once a week you have to use this special European moisturizing cream on it.
Yep.
And then, oh, don't use that. Don't clean it with that because you need to clean it with this. And you know what? I'm just fed up. I decided I'm not cleaning anything anymore, and I'm just going to throw it away and get new stuff. I have a bridle for $19 off eBay, ride until it breaks, and then get a new one.
Yeah, that's not a bad plan.
Just make it easier. And you know what? At least dust is not a problem on horse farms, so I don't have to worry about that.
Maybe you should get one of those synthetic bridles, and then you could just hose it off every day.
I'd love it. I'd love it.
There you go.
Too much work, though.
You don't want to use all that extra water. You're in Arizona. You have to conserve.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, so I wanted to touch base because I ride a lot with jeans on, and I
yep.
did have one person that I rode for tell me not to dare put my bottom with pockets in one of her saddles because it was completely unacceptable. So what do you think about the full, you know, having the jeans on? Because I ride in jeans and half chaps.
It does say that jeans are, there's a little section at the end of this that says the top 8 hazards to your tack, and I'm sorry to say that jeans are on there.
Why?
Along with full chaps. It says that the seams on the inside of jeans will wear the stress point where the seat stitching is.
That's right, and that's why when they make riding jeans, like you see with Carrots now, they don't have that seam there.
Yeah.
So the seams are in different places so it doesn't sit on your saddle like that.
Yeah.
So you just have to go naked now, Jamie. That's it. There's no more jeans for you.
I would think that in the jeans family, the blue jeans that have rivets and stitching and buttons and foo-foo stuff on them, they would be a really significant hazard to your saddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be ugly.
When
I know
my riding jeans. I go to the... Go to the Goodwill and you buy every single stretchy pair of jeans that they have, and they're $7 a piece, and then you go home and you ride in them. They're no bling on these
they're
jeans,
riding
okay?
Jeans.
Goodwill brand.
They're riding jeans.
The Goodwill riding jeans.
What is the favorite brand of barn clothing in America? Goodwill brand.
Heck yeah. Don't worry about it.
I love it.
And it sounds like you should have, like, a budget horse care blog. You have a lot of good ideas here.
There we go, budget horse care. Another one that kind of got my attention, Lisa, was the stirrup leathers one at the end.
Yep, it says, you know, a lot of the older stirrup leathers, and I've actually experienced that with my dressage saddle. I did some damage to it just by riding in kind of a cheaper pair of stirrup leathers that were just abrading the leather away.
Now, I'm going to play George Morris here for a minute, Lisa. If your legs aren't moving, the stirrup leathers aren't moving. Therefore, there's no abrasion going on.
Yes, that's probably a good ride.
Ooh,
I
couldn't
fight! Fight!
Well, when I read that, that's the first thing I thought of. I thought, now, wait a minute. If the stirrup leathers aren't moving, there's no abrasion. Now,
right.
When she says the old oak bark rough cut leathers,
mm-hmm.
I'm just imagining the ones that cost you $17 at the shop that really smell like the bottom of the trash can.
Yep.
I think that might be the one she's referring to.
Yeah, and they make the new ones that are, you know, the one pair I have for my jumping saddle is so, so soft. I can't imagine they would ever scratch anything.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
But something else interesting that was in here is it says people used to worry about using neat's foot oil on their tack because it would make the stitching sort of disintegrate.
Yeah, the cotton stitching.
Really?
Yeah, but it says that most, like pretty much all stitching now is synthetic, and so that's not really a danger anymore, which I thought was interesting because I'd heard that a long time ago. And
yeah, I remember getting that one a lot. That's interesting. Huh.
Well,
so do you use neat's foot oil, Jamie? No, you don't clean your tack, so
that's right.
That.
She doesn't clean your tack.
No. You know, neat's foot oil, I don't understand. I've heard it's bad, too. But why do they sell it as tack oil if it's bad?
There's a whole school of that believes that you should not put oil on your tack at all.
Yeah.
And then there's the school, you know, we used to clean, you know, I had to clean harness. So harness is, you know, there's just a lot of, there's miles of harness. And it seems to take forever to clean it. So we used to use Horseman's One Step, and oh my God, we would have people come up to us and say, "Oh, you shouldn't put that stuff on your tack."
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, okay, it's either that or I'm not cleaning the stuff. So I figured that this is better than nothing. You know.
I love it.
Something else I thought was interesting was it said that you may want to choose what kind of tack cleaner you use based on the climate to where you live.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Because
it says
in Southern California that Horseman's One Step, you know, works really great because the climate there is so dry. But the person who was quoted in the article said if you use it like up in New Hampshire somewhere with a lot more moisture in the air, that it gets sort of like gunky and leaves a residue, which I'd never thought about considering climate when trying to choose a tack cleaning product.
Jamie uses a sand-based one. It works great there in Arizona. Just scrapes everything right off.
Exfoliate is good for skin. But, no, I did. it's got to be good. And you know what I think is fantastic for leather is the dry, sunny climate here in Arizona.
Yeah, that works well.
Really, really great. I do think that having, like, the legs, the spot where, you know, you've worn down your saddle where your leg goes, and mm-hmm. then having a little bit of like a varnish on the seat where you've sat in it for so long, that's like a badge of honor. I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's referred to as patina.
That's right.
Patina?
In the antique world,
patina.
It'd be called
it can
patina.
Be clean patina,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
All right, then. I like
patina. Hey, you know what? Hey, I got it. You know, you watch Antiques Roadshow with Petite, speaking of patina, and they have all these antiques, and then they tell you never do anything with it. If you clean it, if you varnish it, if you do everything, it loses its your value. I think we should go that route with tack.
I love it. Until, you know, you're galloping on your cross-country course and your rein breaks or your stirrup breaks because it's so dry.
Yeah.
Lisa's never coming back.
Yeah.
No, I'll be back, definitely.
Another one that I saw in the article, Lisa, that I thought was a really cool idea, for people whose tack lives inside of bags or
yep.
have a really damp atmosphere, for example, a tack room that's damp or something,
yep.
She says to put one of those little moisture-absorbing things called a desiccant
into
the bag,
that was really
which
cool
I thought
too.
Was a fabulous idea.
Yep. Because it can be so humid here and so moist. Like right now it's been raining for the last day and I think it's going to rain for another day. You know, if I leave my tack for a week, I can come back and it'll have mold on it.
Right, yeah.
And
there are products out there now specifically that say right on them, kills the mold on your tack. And I was talking to somebody in the leather industry once a while back. And I said, you know, we just used to use Clorox and water on it when it was really moldy, and that killed
it. Oh,
off.
Wow.
And the poor man just about fainted right on the spot. He turned ashen white. So I guess that wouldn't be recommended, but it got the mold off.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a pretty cool article.
Yeah, you know, and how do people find the older articles that are on your site?
You can go to chronoforce.com and basically just do a search. Like, I couldn't remember when this particular article ran, so I just did a search for tack cleaning, and it was the first one that came up.
Okay, and your latest edition of your spiffy new online doohickey came out.
Yep, that just came out.
And how do people get to that again? That's their online magazine. And is that one still free? Is it still free at this point?
It is still free. Okay. I think we're doing it free this time and then next time again. But it'll always be free for our subscribers. And we're giving away a certain number of them as well if you go to our website and register. So there's a chance that it could stay free for you for a couple more years. But if you go to our website, which is, again, chronoforce.com, I'm actually not seeing the banner right now, but you can just enter /cron connection, and that'll take you directly to it. And then you just click on a link, and it'll open it up for you.
I found it by way of the top banner. I went from horse care to tack.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to be posting it to our Facebook, too.
Yeah.
Probably
all
the
right,
next
great.
Day, too. So,
sounds terrific. Right. Well, thank you very much, Lisa. We appreciate you putting up with us every Friday. If you would like to change your day to a more solemn day, then you can talk to Jennifer about that. But
no way.
But we love you having you on Fridays. You're like you're the last thing that people hear on a Friday.
Well, that's great.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
All right.
No.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Chronic Horse. Everybody should check out the Chronicle on a regular basis. We do.
Yep, definitely. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
So that's Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse. Well, this is fun.
You posted a picture of the Hackney on Facebook.
I did. I posted a picture of your Hackney, by the way. That is, isn't it like hot there in Arizona?
It's winter, Glenn. It's like during the day, it's like 65 degrees sometimes. It's freezing.
This is the hairiest Arizona pony I've ever seen.
He's a pony. I'm telling you, I have had to clip my warm blood twice. Because
pony is like have hair. He could be living in Canada right now.
Oh, he's so cute, though. And that's the problem.
He's got a big head.
So darn cute. It's a pretty good photograph.
Yeah, he's got a big head for his body. The little girl's cute as a Dickens, by the way. But we posted this stuff. Bad things happen to untrained ponies on Craigslist, Susan says. This is a cute. It is a cute pony. Except
I know.
It's darker. Most of the Hackneys I've seen have been darker in color.
What part of Blood Bay with black points did you not get? I said his color. He's not dark. He's light. He's a light bay.
He looks like he's maybe got a little bit of sunburn in his coat.
Probably.
Yeah,
potentially. Yeah, he's very fuzzy. He was stinking cute. He was a little bit darker in the summertime when he had shed out. So he gets a little more solid day. But, it's an unbroke, because I'm saying he's only been ridden a handful of times. Pony needs a home. And I'm like, somebody teach him to drive. Somebody do something. No, don't call me with your stinking two-year-old that's a great rider who can break the pony. I won't let you have it. I just won't let you have it. I've had like 25 emails, you guys, and all of them I'm like, no, you can't come. Like, I always ask, what do you want? And no, you can't have that. No.
All right, I'm going to post and I'm going to do this right now while we're still on the air. There it is. I'm going to post another picture of Jamie's Hackney. Everybody has to go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and see it. This is the cutest darn picture. Facebook is really being slow today. I think that virus is migrating through and slowing it all down. But so it'll be there in a second. Jennifer, you should go to Facebook too and check this out.
I'm checking it out.
Let's see if it uploaded.
Not yet.
Is this the one where I was playing with my Canon, my fancy
camera?
Hold on,
camera? I gotta redo it. there.
Well,
so what's on your plan for the weekend, Jamie? Well, tell me what your plan for the weekend is while we try and get this loaded up.
Okay, well, tonight is it's one of those nights where all the fighter pilots get around and talk about how awesome they are. And they all have a group meeting tonight. Yeah. They have a bar at the on base, and they all go to the bar, and they all sing all these songs, and it's like guys only. And somehow I ended up being the designated driver. So good for me. I will be arriving on base.
You have to listen to all this while you're sober, which makes it all that much worse. Yeah.
Exactly. So I will get the call and be dispatched to drive to the base and pick up at least one drunk fighter pilot, potentially more. But I know it's going to be a bad night when you ask me like 3 days out, hey, what are you doing Friday? I'm like, I don't know. What are we doing? Well, I kind of got to do this thing on the base. And I'm like, it might be late. And I was wondering if you could drive. I'm like, oh, snap. It's going to be ugly if he's asking me 3 days ahead of schedule. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing tonight. What about you guys?
We actually are our niece is coming in who has visited us, I think, every place we've lived, which we've lived in quite a few places the last several years. And she's flying in from New York City. She's a city girl but likes to ride occasionally. So she's flying in tonight and going to spend the weekend with us. And they're going to go for a trail ride tomorrow and just have a fun weekend that way. I think actually I might take some time off this weekend and not work.
No.
So,
yeah, right.
Yeah. So that should be fun. And the picture is now posted. Hit refresh if you're on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page to see the other darn cute picture of Jamie's little hackney. And by the way, you can ship it out anytime. That'll be fun.
Yeah, you're getting the bill on that one. But yeah, this is me playing with my camera. I got a cool camera. And yes, he does have a very large head, especially in this photo.
See that, Jennifer?
That's the point of view of that little tiny child that's standing next to the pony. That's what she sees.
Exactly. And she is fearless. So, yeah, this is a pony, and any of you want him, you can have him. Just come get him.
Well, we hope everybody's going to have a great weekend playing with your horses. Have fun. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Wear helmets. You know, one of the things I have to do here that we all have to do when we do the morning show is we have to read, we have news set up so that a news feed set up so we read all the horse news around the world. And I'm always amazed the number of people who are getting hurt on a daily basis on horses. So please be safe and please wear your helmet. We would really appreciate that. We'll be back again live on Tuesday, but be sure to listen to Monday's show. It was a terrific show. He's a terrific guy. Not only is he a great musician, but he's a true horse person. And a true cowboy, and as we said, there is something that happens on Monday's show. You didn't give it away, did you, while I was resetting? No, you didn't give it away, the secret. There is something that happens on Monday's show that absolutely has never happened before in 950 episodes here on the Horse Radio Network, and you'll hear what that is. You'll know exactly what it is on Monday's show, so you want to take a listen at 9 a.m. Eastern.
And don't forget to scan Craigslist for ads.
That's right. Scan Craigslist for ads. We'll make that announcement on Tuesday, and you can start posting them up on our Facebook page on Tuesday. That should be a lot of fun. We'll have to come up with our own, too. And we'll have to come up with a winning ad, and we'll come up with some prizes for you, too, before next week. That's it. I'm done.
Hey, be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. And you never have to miss an episode because you can listen to recorded ones on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. If you don't know what we're talking about with the whole Craigslist thing, you can just go back and listen to the beginning of the show again because I'm having a hard time finding a home for the pony on Craigslist. And ridiculous horse ads, we want you to go find them on Craigslist and then post them on our web, on our Facebook page. So you don't have to miss an episode. We'll be back on Monday morning, but Tuesday morning live. So goodbye, everybody. Have a good weekend. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody.